For 50 days, the disciples met together in a room. And that was their whole concentration. That was their whole thought of Spirit of the Living God. Fall fresh on me. They met together for 50 days, seeking God's face, seeking His favor, seeking that miracle that the Son of God told them before He left. He says, when I leave, I will send the gift of the Holy Spirit onto you, that you might be empowered, that you might be able to hear my Father's voice, and that you would be my ambassadors to all of the world. To do that in their own power and their own strength, well, after a while, they would just get burnt out. But instead, for 50 days, they did nothing more than seek the face of God, to seek that empowerment. And at the end of those 50 days, it says that while they were all together in unison, seeking the face of the Lord, that the Spirit of God came like a violent wind out of heaven. And it says, like tongues of fire, it descended upon each and every person. And they were all filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they began to do things that they had never thought or imagined. You come here with that idea this morning? That you want to be just so filled by God's Spirit, by God's power, that you can do things way beyond your own strength, your own imagination? I hope so. I hope that's your desire. And loving Heavenly Father, as we read in Malachi 3:3 this morning during the prayer time, that you come like a refiner. You come with a refiner's fire even to boil out that which does not belong to you. And Father, may we take every thought captive right now to your obedience. May we listen with our ears to hear from your word. May our hearts be open and receptive. And Lord, when it's all said and done, may we leave this place changed into the person that you desire us to be, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said? In the book, The Winner Within, NBA coach Pat Riley offers some insights on the danger of compromising excellence. How do we compromise excellence? Well, we just don't put a lot of effort into it. We just kind of go to just kind of get stuff done. But we don't really put our heart, our soul, and our spirit into it. That's what compromising excellence is about. It's not being all in. Pat Riley says, being a game player is a fiction. Some people use to excuse themselves from working as hard as they should. Oh, I'm just a game player. I just show up, I just play the game, and I go there, and guess what? At the end of the day, I'm going to collect my thousands of dollars to just go out and entertain people for a while. It's not what it's about, is it? But some people use the excuse themselves from working as hard as they should. People who think that they are game players are what coaches call floaters. They float along on a cushion of talent or sheer physical size or strength. They don't see what all the fuss over concentration and work ethic is all about. Until players of lesser talent start scoring in their face quarter after quarter, simply because they are more in tune with their game and are giving it their excellent pursuit. Eventually, every team has to learn that excellence isn't a destination. See, I think as believers, that's what we think so much of the time. oh, well, I believe in Jesus, so I'm good. I'm going to heaven. I don't have anything to do now. I can just be a floater. That's not what you get saved for. You get saved as well as these disciples were meeting in that room so as to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God, which is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many who are lost. Amen? We are the enlightened ones, the ones who have been shown the mercies of God, the ones who have accepted that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and that without that price being paid by Him, we could not sacrifice enough things to be holy in the eyes of God. But instead, it's His holiness for you and for me. Excellence isn't a destination. It's a process that must be continually improved. Are you improving in your Christian walk? Where are you today as opposed to 5 years ago walking with God? Are you a better Christian? Are you less prone to temptation? Are you stronger? Are you greater in your knowledge of God and your ability to share about Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Of course, NBA players and coaches, they're committed to excellence because they want to win a championship, right? Because when it boils all down, it's about bragging rights, right? Corporate execs are committed to excellence because they want to increase their profits by pleasing customers. But as followers of Christ, the motive that drives us to excellence should be our desire to please the one who will give us our final reward. Everything we do should be done with a gracious awareness that He, our Father, is always watching. Thus, we should work at it with all of our hearts and not just be game players, not be floaters. Amen? Title of today's message. It's inside your bulletin. You got an outline there. Would you follow along? It's called God's A Team. God's A Team. From Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Read this with me if you would. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves. Wait a minute. Let's stop right there. Let's go back through that. I want you to read that and really concentrate on what you're reading. Since God chose you, okay, let's personalize it. God chose me to be the holy person He loves. Then what must we do? You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in unity. You know, we are many people that come from different walks of life. We have wisdom about different things in life. I mean, I don't know anything about making gaskets to fit doors and windows of NASA space capsules. And yet, in our presence is a man named Ken Lawrence, who discovered how to make gaskets, rubberized gaskets, that would seal up the windows and the doors of space capsules and airplanes. And that was his business for a number of years. In fact, if you ever went to his garage and saw, he has plaques up there from NASA acknowledging the excellence of his work. Isn't that amazing to think that we've got someone of that caliber right here in our midst? And so many of you, if I knew each and every one of your stories, We all have different strengths, different abilities, different works that we have been involved in throughout our lives that gives us that ability to instruct others even. But do we? But greater than the things that we do here on this earth for employment is our knowledge of God. Greater than any accomplishment that we could ever accomplish here on this earth is to hear at the end of life those words that I long and savor to hear God say this of me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not, well, you got by, good and faithful servant. That just doesn't carry the same weight, does it? Well, you know, yeah, you're a nice warm body, faithful, good servant. No, I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant of mine. And if that's truly the desire of your heart, then you should put him first and foremost in everything that you do, even in your work environment, even in your play. God gets the glory. Let me go to my first point on this outline, because this is a point that some people here really need to hear this and know it. Not just hear it, but to really take this in wholeheartedly, embrace it, and know it better than you know anything else. I need you to know this first truth. Are you aware that God loves you? And that He has made you holy? Do you know that God loves you? Without a shadow of a doubt, do you know that God loves you? It's not based upon your performance, people. If it was based upon your performance, then what was Jesus all about? For God so loved the world. What did He do? He gave His one and only Son to die for you and for me, so that you and I could be issued the rights to eternal life. God so loved us before we even knew about Him or loved Him. God loves you. Would you just say that to yourself right now? God loves me. Embrace that truth. Know it. And God has made me holy. Well, you certainly haven't been watching the things I've been doing, huh, God? It's not your activities that make you holy. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes you holy. Do you know that God loves you? That He has made you holy? 1 John 4, 8 to 10. Read this with me, please. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed us how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's a huge truth. We need to just really zero in on that and concentrate on that. His Son was a sacrifice to take away our sins. As I was going through this A-team mentality for this message, I kind of hearkened back to the way that we pick teams in grade school or in high school or in college or professionally or even out in senior softball. Right? We look at people and we see what their talents are like, and we put judgments upon them because of their ability to perform. And we say, oh, that's an A player over there because they are excellent in all the things that they do. Or they're maybe not an A player, they are a B player. Well, they're really good and they've got some choice, you know, moves and things, but the whole package just isn't quite there. Or we have C players. Well, they're kind of a warm plate. They show up, and yeah, we put up with their mistakes. Every once in a while, they can pull off a really good play, but you can't really count on them. But hearkening back to grade school and being chosen for teams, was it something that you looked forward to, or was it something that you kind of dreaded? Because you knew what people thought about you, and you thought it, and you found that out right away. Although there were times when you wouldn't necessarily want to get picked too soon, because then you knew what you're going to have to play with as the line of people started diminishing, and you started looking at some of those lesser players and going, oh, great. I'm going to have to be saddled with playing with them, right? Is anybody with me? You guys didn't play team sports in school or what? You know? Okay, thank you very much. I didn't know if you nodded off, you know, the caffeine wore off or something or what. But anyway, we, as people, we grade one another. In fact, it's one of the great things that TV has been able to do for us. It's brought us all these reality shows. American Idol, The Voice, what's another one? Dancing with the Stars. My wife watches that. No, I will not admit to watching it, although I keep my wife company, okay? But we have been groomed to do what? To judge people's performances, right? I mean, going through the auditions for The Voice, as they're going through the different people, my wife picked out this woman, and she goes, that's the winner of all of it. And I go, oh, really? Yeah. Oh, oh, back to the remote control. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, we are so quick to pick up the gavel and to judge other people, right? But what does the scripture verse say? Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive other people. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive those who might offend you. You know, we have people bouncing from church to church to church because they can't ever find the perfect one. And guess what? There is not any perfect church out there? You know? No, it's not. It's imperfect because it's made up of human beings who are very much at fault. But where was I going? There are no perfect churches. It's just there are no perfect human beings. There's only one perfect human, and that was Jesus Christ. And he came to set an example for us that, you know what? This life can be lived, but it can't be lived off of our power, our ability. We need more love, more of his love, more of his power in our life, not more of my own power. Amen? So, thankfully, God takes everyone just as they are. And Jesus' blood sacrifice makes them a holy superstar and elevates them to his A team through the generous coaching of the Holy Spirit and his word. Point number two, because some of you might not understand what being holy is all about. So here's a definition for being holy. To be holy is to be separated from this world and to be separate to God, for God. To be holy is to be separated from this world and to be separate for God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Read that with me, please. Now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the Scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Has anybody achieved being holy in everything you do? Let me be the first to pick up your rock and throw it, because I know that I am not without fault. But holiness is not based upon our performance. It's based upon our acceptance of the blood of Jesus Christ for us. Amen. I am placed on God's A-team through the power of Jesus' blood. Jesus said, listen to these words. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And many of you, as you drive around town, you'll notice on the back of some people's automobiles, they'll have this decal up there. It says N-O-W with a cross through the O. That's what that stands for. Not of this world. Changed by the cross. To be holy is to be separated from this world and to be separate for God. As Suzanne and I were going over the sermon outline together, and we came across this point. My wife felt very convicted. In fact, her eyes got all watery. And she asked me this very pointed and very simple question. Honey, are we separate enough from this world? Have we separated ourselves enough? If you ever think you've done it enough, keep pushing. Keep pushing through. Because this world wants to just edge its way into our life more and more. And you know what? We open doors for this world to come into our lives through drug addictions, through alcoholism, through being involved in things that we shouldn't be involved with. Affairs, sexual activity outside of the grounds of marriage, which is where God said sex was A-okay for him. That's what God would accept, is sex within the bonds of a marriage. Everything else is lust and fornication and adultery. And when you read God's word and you read the end of the book in Revelation, it says over and over and over again, adulterers will not be in the kingdom of God. And yet, our world just, oh, if it feels good, do it. Who's going to watch? God is watching. God is watching how you are taking care of this temple, which is His. It's His holy body. And you go around and you just accept what the world says. The world is saying that it's okay for men to be married to men and women to be married to women. But God's word says that is an abomination. Now, if Houston, Texas wants to hear the transcripts of my sermons, they can have them. They might hear the truth, and the truth might save them from an eternal fire of hell. Because, folks, this is not my opinion. The things that are coming out of my mouth is what God's word says. I wouldn't stand up here and report it as otherwise. This is not my opinion. These are the things, the standards that God has set. We don't need God to try to accept our worldly behaviors. We need to align ourselves into His godly behaviors. To be holy is to be separated from this world and to be separate for God. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the first Sunday in October. We celebrated three people separating their lives onto God. They wanted to make a public declaration through their baptism that they were going to live separated and holy unto God. That they were dedicating themselves, their lives, from that day forward for God's glory. We need to continue to encourage them, to hang around them, to keep them accountable to that which they publicly proclaimed before each of us. Although it's done unto God, we are a family. And though it hurts, there are times when my wife tells me I'm help me, hon. Whoa, man. No way. And those aren't the words I want to hear out of my wife. And yet they are truth. And it hurts to sometimes swallow my pride, because it's a pretty big pill. And to say, man, it's one of those very frequent times, honey, where you were right. When you're drafted to play on a team, your allegiance is to that team. It's mandatory. And you are separated onto that team. They're expecting you to give your all when you play on that team. Right? I mean, what good would it be to draft a player who is going to be paid big bucks to, say, play for the Phoenix Suns? Okay? Team we all love. And yet, he says, well, yeah, I'll come and play as a Phoenix Sun, but, you know, boy, I really like the New York Knicks. And they're really my favorite team. And so, through the schedule, the Suns are scheduled to play against the New York Knicks. And since that player, man, he just admires the New York. He's not going to play, put his whole heart into his play, is he? And so it is with us. Sometimes our allegiance gets a little bit shaky. Yet God has called you to be on His A team. Give Him your best. Don't be a floater. Don't just hear, well, you got into the door, good and faithful servant. Instead of being able to hear those words, oh, wow. I mean, do those words of God about Job just ring in your heart and your mind? Satan comes around, Satan comes into the courts of the Lord, and God is boasting. Hey, have you checked out my kid Job down there? God is proud of him as an example of one of His children, of one of His creation. Don't you want God to have that same attitude toward you? Instead of going, huh, oh, that's my, yeah. Sorry about that one down there, that Don guy, he's a work in progress. But guess what? I love him. I love him. Despite all his weakness, despite all of his troubles, I love him. And my Son has made him holy. Are you separated from this world? Or are you trying to meld this world into your life and yet still be a good guy? Are you separate for God? Lastly, as you have been loved, so you are in unity with others through that same love. As you have been loved, so you are in unity with others through the same love. Those who would not accept the words of God, they're not rejecting me. They're not rejecting you when you share the message. What they're rejecting is the message of God in His Word. That's all we're responsible for, people. We're not responsible for their eternal placement. That's every individual's decision about what they want in their life. Our job, and especially my job as a pastor, is to just present the word of truth to y'all. And you can either accept it and live it, or you can reject it. But guess what? It's not on me. It's on you. And I pray that you would all accept the love that God has for you in His holiness. We know that we all desire to play for God's A-team, and the way that you win any team competition is when the team plays as one, each using whatever gifts and abilities they have to make the team strong. The binding strength that we have as God's A-team is what this church generates week after week, and that is a bond of love. And just as players feed off the energy of one another, so we should feed off the activity of God in our lives as He uses us. Amen? I'm part of God's A-team. How about you? Is that your longing desire? I pray that it is.